SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into the early line here on the Sports Grid Network. Dubs Anderson alongside Joe Ranieri. It is bowl season in full effect. Plenty of fantastic action for the Friday afternoon slate. We previewed a couple of those marquee matchups and best bets prior to that last commercial. But let's take it to the Saturday afternoon college football, the Pop-Tarts Bowl. I love the old apple Pop-Tarts. I know that was going to be your next question, Joe Ranieri. Iowa State going against Miami, 3.5 with a total of 55 in the hook. Let's start with the Pop-Tarts. Favorite flavor, favorite bet?
The Miami to get it done against Iowa State. Listen, you're never going to get rich backing Miami in a bowl game, especially with Mario Cristobal, because it usually doesn't end well. But something different about this Miami team this year with Cam Ward at quarterback, and the fact that this is a guy that was a Heisman finalist and in all likelihood is going to be a top draft pick as a quarterback to one of these quarterback needy NFL teams. He's playing in this game, and so is just about every one of his offensive weapons that he had leading Miami to being one of the best offenses in the country this year. Everything that I have read coming from Cam Ward saying he wants this to be, you know, his kind of swan song. He wants to go out and prove everyone that Miami should have been in the playoff and that they can drop this many points on anybody. And if Iowa State has to play catch up, Iowa State is finished. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen in this game. So, yeah, I think the U is certainly worth a look-see in this one with Cam Ward on the center.
We'll get to see another young superstar quarterback in the college ranks, the Colorado Buffaloes going against the BYU Cougars. What a showdown this is. Two Big 12 contenders. It looks like Shador is going to be out there. It looks like Travis Hunter is getting set to play before both players projected to go in the top 10 of this year's draft class. What do we like in the Alamo Bowl? BYU, Buffs, Prime. Yeah.
I'd like neither of those guys to play in this game. That's what I would like. I can't even understand why either of them are playing in this game. But, you know, you take out an insurance policy, I guess. But what is that going to do, honestly, if something were to happen here? So I think BYU can certainly hang defensively here with this with Colorado. And I think they're getting, 4 points now? 3.5, 4 points up along those lines. Yeah, I would take a flyer on BYU. I think defensively, now that they've healed up and they have their full complement of guys, I think BYU could be dangerous in this one against Colorado, because when push comes to shove, how much are they really laying it out there, Colorado Dubs, in the fourth quarter here? I don't think we're going to see a full game of Shador or a Hunter in this one, and I think advantage to BYU.
Yeah, good shout there as well. That's a nice-looking lean going in to Saturday. Louisiana Tech will go against Army in the Independence Bowl. Big margin here, big spread set. Army laying 16.5 with a low total of 43 in the hook. And then we've got the New Mexico Bowl, Louisiana going against TCU. Also a healthy margin to cover. Out of these two matchups, Joe, anything stand out to you on the wagering side?
Yeah, I certainly like Army in a blowout spot here. This would not shock me at all. I do think Army, not a good taste in their mouth there in that last game against Navy, did not look good. But this rushing game, some time to heal here, I think is, this is a mismatch. The Louisiana Tech rushing defense versus the rushing offense against Army, it's a mismatch here. Army's going to win this game by a million, so I would not be afraid to lay it in this game at all.
Don't be afraid of that big spread. Also on Saturday, a couple of featured bowl games. And tell you what, for you bettors and sports fans, what a weekend it will be to join us right here on the Sports Grid Network. We've got the Fenway Bowl, UConn taking on North Carolina. They're laying 2.5. The Pinstripe Bowl, Nebraska taking on BC. The Arizona Bowl, Miami, Colorado State squaring off in that one. Colorado State grabbing 2.5 points in the Military Bowl, which will see East Carolina going against a formidable foe in NC State. So, Joe, with that that late slate on Saturday, any standout games, any players in particular you're watching out for? And it really is tough on the betting side of things, just having those question marks of who's actually going to be out there on the field and who's giving it their all.
Well, yeah, that's the problem. The problem is that a lot more defection from NC State than East Carolina here. But Military Bowl in Fenway, like you said, this is going to be, the NC State East Carolina game is going to look, and you can see that number, 58.5. There's going to be very little defense in this one. There's going to be a ton of offense here. We also understand that the North Carolina State defensive coordinator has left to be the coach at Marshall. So the defense from NC State going to be a little bit less, especially with five defensive starters not showing up for this game. I think points are coming. 58.5 is a big number, Dubs, but not really, because I think both these teams are going to be able to score a lot of points here. I like the over in that one.
Oh, overs, overs, overs. That could be the common theme, and no better destination, no better place to watch along than right here with us for your Sports Grid Saturday afternoon. What a slate for the college ranks into the pros there, the NFL with three games on tap. And with that, it's time to play a little game, a little Fade the Public, where we hear from you guys on the latest and greatest and what's trending at this time of year in the NFL. Let's play the tape, boys. Fade the Public, we are asking you guys, and Joel, we'll be asking you this one as well. Which team do you want to see make the AFC playoffs? We've got the Bengals, the Broncos, the Colts, and the Dolphins. It's that simple. If you had your choice, not even on the wagering side of things, who would you like to see make it into the postseason?
Yeah, I agree with the public. I think the Bengals make a fascinating storyline if they are somehow able to get into the playoffs. But again, they're going to need some help. They can handle business against Denver this week. Denver has to play Kansas City, but Kansas City has absolutely nothing to play for. So I don't even know who might be playing. Carson Wentz bowl game is what that could be there. Still no guarantee that Denver will do it, but Denver does control their own destiny here. I would rather see Cincinnati, because I think Joe Burrow in any situation in the playoffs makes this very interesting. The argument can be made nobody's been better this year under center than what Joe Burrow has, especially over the last, 2 months of the season here, Dubs. The guy is just absolutely unreal. The defense is suspect at best, but Joe Burrow would be a lot more fun to watch than any of those other three teams and their quarterbacks in the playoffs.
There it is. The people have spoken with today's Fade the Public. AFC playoffs, the big contender, looking to be the Bengals there, 63%. But didn't take it, Owen. You know, looking at the Broncos here, that's where your boys landed, 23% thereabouts. I don't think they get it done in that final week against the Kansas City Chiefs. I think they get it done this week on Saturday afternoon up there in Cincinnati. My boy Bo Nix, he ain't getting another one just slipping through his grasp. I think they're absolutely going to take it to the Bengals. We previewed this one a little earlier in the show. I think it's going to be an absolute bevy of points. And this is the referendum spot for the young quarterback going into that environment, squaring off against another superstar already established in the league. So I think the Broncos are live for the upset. It would be the first time clinching a playoff berth since 2015 for the Denver Broncos. So great stuff there. A couple of teams we're looking at to make a big push. We're going heads up. And I had to check twice, Joe, because I feel like you're always throwing up these polls of the days on your social accounts. Very, very active. It reminds me of a certain insider. I just can't put my finger on it. More to come on the other side. You want the early line right here. Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into the Early Line here on the Sports Grid Network. Happy Friday, happy holidays from all of us here at the Sports Grid family. I'm Dubs Anderson. That is Joe Ranieri, who has been carrying this operation for the past couple of hours, but we are not done yet. And I tell you what, Joe, this feels like it's the business end of the NFL regular season. And a couple of teams have really underwhelmed, but one of them still as a fighter, has, you know, that puncher's chance. The Miami Dolphins going in to Cleveland to take on the Browns. For the Miami Dolphins, they've dealt with their fair share of injuries for the year, but favored here, close to a touchdown. They're laying 6.5 going on the road. 39.5 is that total, and it looks like weather could be coming into play here on Sunday afternoon. Is it Miami in a must win?
Well, yes, but I think there's better ways to bet this game than hoping Miami goes on the road in the elements where we know Tua doesn't exactly perform at a high level in cold weather in any environment there. But we also know that the Browns have pretty much stuck a fork in the season. Anytime you're rolling out DTR as your quarterback and they're doing it again this week, yeah, you've pretty much thrown in the towel. Also, they've got no Nick Chubb, obviously no competent quarterback. The offense, I wouldn't count on them doing anything. They managed just 6 points against a terrible Cincinnati defense. They scored 7 at home against Kansas City the week prior. The Dolphins have won 5 of 7. They are very good at punching down, Dubs. They usually beat the lesser than teams. But again, Miami just has to keep winning games. And the defense of Cleveland, you know, they shut out for the most part Burrow and that offense in the second half of that game. They kept Cleveland in that game much farther along than they needed to be. And that was because the defense is still playing very hard for Cleveland there. So call me crazy. I think the team total of Cleveland under is probably the best way to look at this game. 16.5 points, I think, is what it is. The total, I don't see them getting to 40 points either. I think the under for the full game and the under for the Cleveland team total are the best looks in this one, as opposed to expecting Miami to go and light anybody up on the road in the elements, which I don't see happening.
Yes, smart insight there, Joe. For some of you bettors looking to jump in and play that one, especially when the weather and some of these results are a little dicey, penultimate week of the reg season. With that, let's take it to the Colts game. They're going into New York to take on the Giants. The Giants at home, a staggering 0-8 for the season, still winless playing in their building. Does it get any easier? They're grabbing 7.5. That's not a bad spot. 40.5 is that total. And a couple of question marks and health concerns for the Colts coming in here, Joel. Is this the spot? Do the Giants finally get their first home victory for the year?
Oh, they better not. I mean, listen, the Giants haven't done anything well this season. And if they go out and win this game, then I don't know what to tell you. You're staring at the number one draft pick. You can get the pick of the litter this year in a draft. You got some franchise quality guys coming out. You need to lose this game. And I know nobody tanks. Players don't tank. Just ask the Raiders. We saw that. We get it. But the Giants, like, stop. There is no way I think they win this game. I think Indy is, as we saw last week against Tennessee, more than capable of dropping a whole lot of points on teams. I think Anthony Richardson is an issue, but I think Jonathan Taylor is not. And I expect Jonathan Taylor to get his yards in this game. I expect Anthony Richardson to do what he usually does, which is score a touchdown in the red zone because he's deathly afraid of throwing an interception. So I would suggest that maybe at any time Anthony Richardson TD along with Jonathan Taylor props to go up and over the rushing here, as I think the Giants also pretty much have cashed this in and have decided that maybe just getting the number one draft pick is the best situation to come out of this game.
Yeah, it's a tough one for me to be excited about having a bet on there. 40.5 the total. Look towards the player props. That line a little scary there. Trying versus tanking at the pointy end of the regular season. They'll close out with the Colts. This is for the Giants in week 17, and then the final week going against the Philadelphia Eagles in that building. So we've got six teams in the NFL right now, three wins or less, the Giants being the only two-win team. So if they do see the writing on the wall and say, okay, let's just lock up this thing of being the worst team throughout the regular season, they get that top draft spot. Joe, who do they take? It's got to be a quarterback, but is it a Cam Ward? Is it a Shador Sanders? Is it the two-way superstar in Travis Hunter? But it really feels like the quarterback is the big concern that's a bit of a must-fill.
I think what we're going to be looking at is kind of crazy enough. I wouldn't be shocked if Cam Ward gets a look also by the Giants as one of their top guys there. I don't know that Deion will allow Shador to go to the Giants. Sound familiar? I think they have their eyes set on someplace else to go. I do think that Cam Ward's going to get some looks as maybe the number one quarterback taken, as well he should. Plenty of experience. He's got what it takes to make it in the next level. I don't think they'll go Hunter. They need a quarterback. Danny Dimes isn't it. So I think it's either Shador or Cam Ward. And I'm pretty sure Shador and Deion might have someplace else in mind they want to go, and maybe not the Giants organization. So that would leave an opportunity for Cam Ward to be the number one pick for the Giants.
Cam Ward as the second shortest price there for the NFL draft at plus 170 to go as that top pick. Shador Sanders, the shortest number right now, minus 200. Travis Hunter sitting at plus 950. So a big matchup looms there. The Giants taking on the Colts. And for the Colts, I guess there's a bit of optimism, Joe. Is Anthony Richardson, is he the guy? Have you seen enough promise to at least come back next season, try and build around him?
What choice do they have? They took him with what? The number one draft pick for the team, right? Top 10. You're invested in him. I think we all need to be realistic and say, don't know that this is, I don't know that he's an NFL franchise quarterback. Was Jameis Winston a franchise quarterback? Feels like the same guy.
Yeah, really does. Accident prone there, indeed. Plenty more previews coming up on the other side. You're watching the Early Line here on the Sports Grid. Big Whips.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into the Early Line. The football talk continues here on your Friday. Fast start into the weekend. I'm Dubs Anderson alongside Joe Ranieri, and we've got a matchup that sees two teams motivation a little lacking for this one, Joe. Raiders against the Saints. I try to bring it in with a bit of optimism, but man, tough. This feels like Thursday night football. 37.5 is the total, close to a pick 'em here, grabbing a point and a half at home. And for the Saints, wasn't this the team that put up more than 90 points for the first couple of games of the regular season? Wow, it certainly went south quickly.
It did, and it's amazing to me that we saw the market backing the Raiders in this spot against a, let's face it, a Saints team that got shut out on Monday in front of a national audience. But I don't get it. I mean, Vegas should not be laying points against anybody, especially on the road in New Orleans here. And as bad as New Orleans had looked, the Raiders aren't Green Bay, so I do think the Saints have a shot at actually keeping this one a little bit more, shall we say, closer than some moats. Also, I'm hearing, Dubs, to top it off, that there's a chance the Saints might have Derek Carr and Chris Olave back for this game, but even if they don't, the Raiders, as a road favorite, have to be an auto fade to me, no matter what. I'll take my chances with the Saints and hope that maybe Olave or Derek Carr are available to come back. One of them is available to come back and play in this game here. Fingers crossed, but you can't be laying points on the road if you're the Raiders. Like, absolutely not here. So it would only be dog or pass for me in this one.
Yeah, it's a tough one to get excited about, but that's the fantastic thing about the sports wagering landscape, especially at this time of year. You don't have to play them all, and if you don't like a side, if there's no line that stands out, this is a great pass spot. You give me Spencer Rattler, a quarterback, and I'll tell you what, that's enough for me to walk away from the window. 37.5 is the total for that one. Another battle of the cellar dwellers coming up here in week 17. And I feel like the punches just keep coming through here on a Friday. Tennessee Titans against the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jags, 1.5 favorites here total. Not a lot of points expected. And Joe, I'll put my hand up. Most disappointing futures bet I had all season long was the Jacksonville Jags. I had so much expectations for them coming into this year. Here we are, both teams just with 3 wins and trying to build on that.
Yeah, this is an interesting one too, but actually one that I do think there is a play worth grabbing here, and I think that's going to be the over in this game here, Dubs. We saw Mason Rudolph last week against Indy, and we saw what that offense looked like. And they almost came back and won that game. I mean, they dropped 30-some-odd points in that game. They gave up far too much early. The defense was the problem for Tennessee. The defense looked like they had pretty much quit on the season last week and gave up all those rushing yards to everybody on Indy. But Mason Rudolph gives them a shot to score with anybody, especially against this Jacksonville team. I think that total is too low because I think Tennessee is more than capable of putting up, 24, 28 points in this game. And that should give us more than enough opportunity, especially with the way the Tennessee Titans defense is thrown in the towel. I think the over is the play in this one by far. That's the way I would look at it.
Calvin Ridley, star wide receiver now for the Titans, making his return to Jacksonville. And he's been a little boisterous going throughout this week. So maybe they look to funnel him a couple of more targets there for the Titans. A player prop, certainly worth keeping the eyes on. And, you know, Joe, a lot of teams, quarterbacks, head coaches, we can sit back and write them off and say, you know, they need changes in terms of trying to turn things around going into next season. But is the Jags organization one that can figure things out with the pieces that they've currently got in-house?
It feels like a cleansing needs to happen somewhere along the line here. But how many more coaches are you going to go through there? Something not right there in Jacksonville. Something's got to happen. I know the Titans and Callahan, first-year head coach, he'll be back. They'll try to figure some things out there in Tennessee. And is Will Levis the quarterback? Jacksonville's got a different set of issues with Goldilocks there, and he's taking a step back, and that's not a good sign at this point in his career, especially since you just gave him $200 million.
Joe, the only reason you don't like Will Levis is because he chugs on the mayonnaise. I chug on the mayonnaise. That's what I'll be doing on Friday night. Fill it up, baby. I love it. Have a good weekend, Joe Ranieri. Mike Lewis coming up on the other side. I'm getting tense. Stick with us. You're watching the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back into the early line here on this Friday. I want to thank Dubs Anderson for hanging out with us again here this morning as we welcome in my compadre, my cohort here on Sunday's NFL in-game live, Mike Blewett, stepping in as Ben Stevens, a little under the weather here, but doesn't mean that we don't have a pick six to go over as we head into these weekend games here, Mike. And we'll start like we usually do with an anytime TD score here and some interesting games, to say the least, still coming up here tomorrow and Sunday. Where did you look on the board for an anytime TD score?
I think when it comes to anytime touchdowns over the last few years, I think I've gotten a lot more conservative on how to play these. I think you have to get comfortable, in my opinion, laying some juice on these types of bets. But there are some running back bets this week that are outsized in terms of anytime touchdown. Like Saquon is minus 270 or something like that. So I took Jonathan Taylor at minus 160. I think you can be comfortable laying that amount of juice and feel pretty confident that somebody that's touching the ball in the last 3 weeks, 29, 22, and 25 times. I heard you talking about Anthony Richardson. I think the Colts know what's up. And that the way for them to win games, especially against an inferior opponent like the Giants, is just to give the ball to Taylor as many times as they can and rack up yards. I think they'll be in a position to score with him. He broke off a big one last week. In fact, he scored three times last week. And I think he gets in the end zone again. So Jonathan Taylor minus 160 against a pretty putrid Giants defense.
Yeah, no, it's almost has to be a given at this point. And to your point, everything you just laid out is exactly why I'm have to look at Bijan Robinson going into that game for Atlanta, who is taking their rookie quarterback on his first road start here. And like we saw last week, you need the other facets of the game need to step up. Players need to step up. We saw the defense do it last week with two pick sixes against the Giants. We've seen Bijan obviously run hard, and that's going to have to happen against a Washington defense that, let's face it, Mike, over time has been, shall we say, susceptible to the rushing attack. And I think if they get in a red zone, they're not going to ask him to do anything except hand the ball off and get it into the end zone here. So I think Bijan, even at minus 140, is a look worth and a bet worth taking, given the spot and the, you know, Michael Penix in his first road start. I don't think they're going to take a lot of chances. Do you?
No, I don't think so at all. I think Colts and Falcons are probably going to have pretty similar game plans, honestly, and that's why the two of us are going with these running backs. The opposing defenses do give up a lot of yards on the ground. The Giants in particular have given up the second most rushing yards amongst all defenses. They've given up 16 rushing touchdowns. I think that continues. And I think that Washington Atlanta game is pretty fascinating too, Joe. Everybody's going to want this to be an easy one for the Commanders, and I don't think it will be. I don't have a lot of faith in the Falcons, but I think this could be a knockdown, drag-out kind of game where we're sitting there in the fourth quarter saying, like, what the hell is happening in this game? I think it could be a wild one on Sunday.
Which is why, for my money line underdog, that's where my money is going with Atlanta here, because I do feel like this is a letdown spot, Mike, for Washington, yep, who had to give everything they had, turn the ball over five times, had to come back. I don't know how much they have left in the tank, not to mention that qualified them for the playoffs. This right. feels like I got a desperate Atlanta team. Nobody is going to pick them. I think the number is too high at 4.5, but I'll take the points, and I will absolutely sprinkle a little something on the money line for this game, because it would not shock me if Atlanta goes there and wins this game. What are you thinking for your money line underdog? Which game did you focus on?
It's a good call on Atlanta, because Washington is sort of locked into the sixth seed. Mm. You know, that's just where they're going to be, probably, regardless of whether they, even if they lose their last two games, they might end up being the sixth seed. What I would say for my money, this slate is pretty funny because we have a few games that are obviously awful, right? We talked about the Colts-Giants game. I heard you guys talking about Raiders-Saints earlier. We have a Jags-Titans rematch. And I don't have a lot of confidence in the underdogs this week. And the NFL since week 5, I think everybody knows by now, has been very chalky. Favorites hitting at an unusual rate in the last 10 weeks. But I like the Titans to bounce back in this one. You're not getting a big price on it, but they are getting 1.5. They're at home here. And I just feel like this is, oh no, sorry, it's at Jacksonville. I just feel like between the two teams, Joe, even though it's putrid football, I think the Jags have really mailed it in. They did a nice job against the Jets a couple of weeks ago, keeping it close. I just don't think that anybody in that building believes that Peterson is going to be back for the long haul. They're still playing for Callahan. I think Mason Rudolph was an upgrade for them offensively. So that last game was 10-6 that they played a few weeks ago. You mentioned that you like the over, And in that scenario, I like Mason Rudolph to be able to outscore Mac Jones.
I agree here. I mean, we saw that Tennessee defense quit big time there in that game against Indy last week. They can make even, I think, if they play like that, Mac Jones look competent enough. But I think Mason Rudolph gives that Tennessee team much more scoring punch. I'm with you on that one there. Also, we've got, of course, an under that we might be looking at this week. I'll tell you right now, Mike, I'm give me the Browns team total under. I talked about it earlier. There is under. No Nick Chubb, and you're throwing DTR under center. What'd they score? 6 points last week. They were lucky to do that. 7 the week prior. This is not an offense that can be trusted. Weather conditions don't look great. I would much rather, instead of relying on Miami to win a game here by margin, I'd much rather just keep fading this Cleveland team total. 16.5. I got no problem looking under in this one. How about you?
I have a similar kind of lean on the Giants game. We talked earlier, the Giants haven't been able to do anything offensively. I like the under in that game, a total 40.5. I think you're going under because I don't think the Giants can help you get there. If you wanted to play the Giants team total under 15.5, I think that's a totally fine way to play it as well. I could go with either one. I don't think the Colts will explode offensively in the way that they did last week necessarily. But even there, I just don't. If the Colts won this game, 30-10, that gets you under. And I don't even think there'll be that many points from either team. So you play the Giants under 15.5 or the total of 40.5 under.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's two very similar situations with those teams there. And listen, the Giants, I'll say it again, they haven't done a lot right this year. But you can rectify all of that by not winning this game. You can continue not to win games, and that would be the right thing to do by simply getting that number one draft pick, and let's see if they can't get something else going here and turn the page for the Giants' new era. All right, alternate line, Blewett, I'll give mine out quick, and then when we come back, I'll get yours. But to me, if it ain't broke, I ain't fixing it. And Joe Burrow right now, over 2.5 passing touchdowns, ain't broke. And the fact that I can still get it at plus money, I got no problem backing it up here again. We've hit it now last week. We hit it the week prior. There's absolutely no reason to stop. I don't trust this Denver defense nearly as much as I did in the first half of the year. I think Burrow and company poised to put up a ton of points in this game at home. And again, him getting 3 touchdown passes, probably not a big ask at plus money. We'll get Mike's when we get back as the early line and our pick 6 continue here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back into the early line. Joe Ranieri alongside Mike Blewett here as we're running down our favorite pick 6 for NFL games this weekend, week 17. And the pickings are thin, right, to say the least here on some of these games that are supposed to mean anything. But when we last spoke here, I told you my alternate line look was going to be, if it ain't broke, I ain't fixing it. Joe Burrow over 2.5 touchdowns. It's been 7 straight since he throws 3 a game. It's just the way it is. Even against this Denver defense, I think he'll have a lot of success throwing the ball. That's my alternate line. Where did you look here?
So I like that one a lot. I played it a little bit more straight up. The Rams tomorrow night taking on a Cardinals team that was eliminated. Joe, you and I watched that game against the Panthers, and it was a perplexing performance, to say the least. Their defense just fell apart against Chuba Hubbard and let Bryce Young really control the ball pretty consistently throughout that game, losing in overtime and getting eliminated from the playoffs. I think it would be hard for them to bounce back against a Rams team that is hungry to try to win this division. And with a 6.5 point spread, I think you could bump it up to 9.5. You can get it at plus money. And I think the Rams could really run over the Cardinals. Kyren Williams has touched the ball over 300 times this season already. I don't think they are. I don't think the Rams are hiding anything. They play a lot of 11 personnel, and they get Nacua and Kupp in space, but they also space you out to run it with Kyren Williams, and they've done it effectively. I don't think the Cardinals will get enough stops. I think the Rams are going to play big-time ball control tomorrow and win this game going away.
I mean, Kyler Murray is 9-18 in his career in December and January games. It's not a quarterback you can trust in any way, shape, or form this time of year. So I am with you. I think the Rams poised for an absolute blowout to lock it up for their playoff chances and the division. All right, so let's talk some yardage here. Speaking of the Rams, a yardage prop that I looked at is going to focus on that Rams game against Arizona, and I'm actually going to look to fade Cooper Kupp here for a lot of the reasons you just spoke about. Number one, the last couple of weeks, Mike, 6 targets, 24 receiving yards. He's not had exactly the best matchups. In fact, the Rams, who got beat up by Arizona in week two, trailed throughout that game, and he still only got 37 receiving yards in that game. I think Puka Nacua has got the better matchup on the outside, but I also think there is no reason for them to do anything except hand the ball off to Kyren Williams and let him run. They're giving up 6 yards a carry over the past 3 games, this Arizona defense. If I'm the Rams, there's no reason to get fancy here. Just do it. Play power football. Let them rack up the yards. But Cooper Kupp, to me, is a guy I'm going to be looking to go under in his yardage prop receiving this week. It was 51.5. I think it's already bet down to 48.5 here. Mike, how about you?
I think that makes sense. Just to give you folks a sense of where how the books are positioning this, they have Kupp's total that low. Kyren Williams rushing attempts is over 20.5. So the books are sort of telling you how they think this game is going to go. His yardage total at 90.5, I think, is even a little light if you like that one. So it's a little bonus. But the guy that I'm focusing on is a Bucs team that has really shown a propensity to throw the ball, and their rookie wide receiver Jaylen McMillan has hit his number of 40.5 3 weeks in a row. Last 3 weeks, 7, 6, and 7 targets in the pass game. He's got at least 4 catches in all 3 contests, and he's got 59, 75, and 57 yards in the last 3 weeks. So at 40.5, I think it's too low. I looked at Mike Evans' number as well. That's double. So that's 81.5 is Mike Evans, which I think he could get to, but I'm taking the value here. I think McMillan's number is way too low. He's beating it easily, and I like his catches number, to be honest, as well, just 3.5. So you could do a little parlay there if you want, but I like Jaylen McMillan here. I think people sometimes overestimate rookies hitting this rookie wall. It is a real thing, but we have seen in recent years, Joe, rookie backs and receivers getting ingratiated in the offense later in the season and making a real impact, and we're seeing it here with Jaylen McMillan.
Yeah, and I love the over in that game, Mike. For whatever reason, the NFC South, whenever we get these divisional matchups this year, the point totals are over the top. The games get to be these wild shootouts or blowouts, and everything seems to go up and over the total. In fact, I believe all 4 of Tampa's divisional games this week have been at least 49 points or more and have averaged 62.5. And Carolina is no different, playing much better. It feels like an over is correlated to a lot of those over props, including even Bucky Irving rushing all over Carolina because he did it the first go around, didn't he?
Yes. And to be honest, I was looking at Bucky Irving as this yardage prop as well. I like his numbers there. These, to your point, last week, the Bucs lost to Dallas. They played it to 50, and the Cards and Panthers played to 66 last week. So I think Liam Cohen, the Bucs offensive coordinator, has really put Baker Mayfield and the backs in a position to be successful. They're losing games in frustrating fashion, but it's really because their defense is let up, not because the offense has failed them. So I like the offense to have a big one here. It's really difficult, too, for a team like Carolina to get a wins 2 weeks in a row against, in this instance, a quality opponent.
Yeah, very quality. And it's so strange this year how it's been in the NFC South, that you would think we would get games that teams are very familiar with one another, that they'd be lower scoring, they'd be, you know, harder to get. Nope, not this year. All of these games, Atlanta and Tampa, were all crazy shootouts. Even Carolina getting in the act, dropping all sorts of points all over the place. So if it ain't broke, I'm not fixing it with the over in that matchup as well. All right, so we've got coming up. We'll lay it down. I think we hit it last week again, Ben and I, with our teaser leg. Our six-point teaser came through. I had the ugly Jacksonville Jags at 7.5. Ben had the Ravens down to a pick'em against Pittsburgh. Both hits. We'll do that again with Mike Blewett, see if we can't cash another teaser when the early line continues here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When you're a Sports Grid listener,
you have an advantage.
We bring you sports gaming strategies and information 24-7.
We call it the winning edge.
Everybody else calls it Stop messing around.
Get the winning edge.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, welcome back in the early line here on this Friday as we get ready for a big weekend of sports. We welcome back the NHL tonight. We welcome back, I believe, a baker's dozen in college football bowl games over the next 48 hours. Week 17 of the NFL season continues to roll on. College hoops will be back. Mike Blewett is back here as we look to round out our pick six. And of course, you can check out Mike and I on Sunday here throughout the NFL season as we'll cover you with in-game live beginning at 1 o'clock Eastern time here on the Sports Grid Network. And Mike, we've got nothing but a teaser to cover here. So kick us off here with who you're looking at. Mine is obvious. I'm going with Miami. I'll take them down to a pick, lay a half a point. I just need them to win the game. Even Miami in the elements, in cold weather and rain, should have no problem beating the Browns, who have no Nick Chubb and or are throwing DTR under center. So I'll take the Miami's to win, tease them down. There's not a lot to choose from here, but that's the direction I'll go. How about your leg here?
I think this feels like a very chalky week. So if we don't get a lot of chalk, I think it could be a bloodbath for bettors out there. So you've been warned, but it feels chalky to me. And I would probably, if I were ranking these games, I really like the Miami column. I would probably take the Rams if I was really picking one team in a tease, but I picked them in our other selections, so I wanted to cover another game. And I do think that the Eagles get a bounce back here and are able to win the game. It may not be with style points, and it may be a little ugly, but regardless of who's under center, I think they're just going to run as much as they can. I think Saquon gets a ton of touches. It is why they signed him. They've used him, obviously, liberally throughout the entire season, but I think tomorrow, on Sunday, there's a big dose of Saquon and this run game. Philly's offensive line had a really bad half the other day when they blew that lead to Washington, and I think they're going to get back to business. So I'll take Philly down to 1.5. They get the victory. It may not be with style, and I think they there'll be the other part of this tease.
Oh, yeah, it definitely won't be with style. That is for sure. So, Mike, to recap what we've got here, why don't you go ahead and run down your pick six for the folks at home that might just be tuning in. Tell us what you got from the Anytime TD score right through the teaser.
You got it. Anytime touchdown, Jonathan Taylor, that's -160. Better price than some of the other feature backs like Kyren Williams and Saquon Barkley. Moneyline, the underdog. We'll go with the Titans. They lost 10-6 to the Jags a few weeks ago. I think they get the victory this time, and Mason Rudolph outscores Mac Jones. We have the under in Indianapolis and New York, under 40.5. I don't think the Giants are going to help get you there. As a bonus, Giants under the team total of 15.5. Alt line on the Rams tomorrow night. I think they win that game going away, so you take it up to -9.5, and I think they have a 10-point victory or more. Jalen McMillan is my yardage prop for the Tampa Bay Bucs. He's hit this number 3 weeks in a row. They're targeting more heavily in the passing offense is Liam Cohen and Baker Mayfield. And for the teaser, we'll take the Eagles -1.5 to match up with Joe.
Love that. All right, I am running with Bijan Robinson as an anytime touchdown. I'm going to take the Falcons as my dog. I'm fading the Browns team total under 16.5. I'm also going to look at the alt line. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Joe Burrow over 2.5 passing TDs. My yardage prop looking to fade Cooper Kupp under 51.5 receiving yards or 48.5. If you got it there, that's the way I'll look at that. And then, of course, my teaser is going to be the Dolphins figuring it out in cold weather and simply win the game, teasing them down to about a pick 'em. So there you got it. We've got our pick sixes here. Mike, you and I will be back on Sunday as we get to look at this slate. What's the one game you're looking forward to on Sunday here?
On Sunday, obviously a big one between Denver and Cincinnati tomorrow. But on Sunday, I think I will be clearly focused on the Packers and the Vikings like everybody else. I still feel like, Joe, we're in week 17 now. I still feel like the Vikings are not getting their props from people. And they are a home dog this week. I can't believe a 13-2 team can be in under a home dog.
Yeah, kind of crazy there. I'm with you. I think that's going to be the game of the day. I am looking forward to Sunday night as well with Atlanta and Washington. Mike Boone, I'll see you Sunday. We'll see the early line again on Monday. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you again soon.